All right, okay, fine. This was a flight from Prestwick in Scotland back to Montreal. So we had to go the southern route, which meant going flying to the Azores, then to Bermuda, and then back up to Montreal. We had to do this because the headwinds across the Atlantic were far too strong for the dual length to make it across a pond.
Yeah, from the Azores to Bermuda and then up north, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyways, we got to, we took off from London, from Prestwick, all right, and we got past our point of no return, which is, and we couldn't get back because the southern coast is far, even got all fogged in anyway. So we had to go ahead, and we're just past the point of no return when number two engine, one of the propeller blades broke, and the tip went right through the top of the aircraft, taking off the front of the Astrodome. And the navigator just been shaking his head out of that Astrodome, when he would have said his head would have been gone. But anyways, we had this 160 mile an hour wind inside the aircraft.
Yeah.
And the papers and all of them were all flying all around the cabin, and they were going right through into the tail end where we had a bunch of VIP passengers. They were all people with braid from their elbows up to their, they're all high-ranking officers. So anyways, the captain decided he was going to put a seat cushion into the hole to stop the draft. And he did that, but as it went out, it got sucked out. And as it was sucked out, it took the back of that Astrodome off, and then the wind suddenly reversed, and all the papers started to come back and go out the hole. And I remember seeing the captain standing under this hole, and his hair was standing up straight as air was going past his head, and he looked like he had a freight wig on. But anyways, we got that finally settled down. We got the engine trimmed up, and with number one engine going full bore, and number two was shut off, of course. And about half an hour later, we ran into some prefrontal weather at 9,000 feet. And number three and number four engine took turns and coughing up and backfiring, and then starting again was clearing the ice that was in the carburetors.
Yeah.
So, anyways, the aircraft was weaving back and forth all over the sky with these alternate engines going, and we were at 9,000 feet and starting to lose altitude. And we looked around to see what we could throw out, and there was nothing we could throw out except the radio, and we decided we better keep that.
Yeah.
And we sort of looked at the passengers, and we wondered if any of them wanted to volunteer to jump. It didn't get to that anyways. But anyways, we kept going, and then the RAF sent out this aircraft that had an airborne lifeboat, and some of the very first aircraft radar. And I think it was a Wellington aircraft, I'm not sure. But anyways, it took off, and it never did find us.
Yeah.
So anyways, it was comforting to know that somebody was reaching out looking for us, in case we did go into the drink.
Yeah.
But anyways, we get to the Azores, and long runway is 10,000 feet long, but on the west side of it, there was a row of hills, and we had come across, there was a storm approaching, and the wind was right across the runway, and the turbulence from the hills were making it, so it would be impossible to land on that long runway. So we went out and we decided to take the short runway. At the end of the runway, it was only 3,000 feet long. So we did our let down up to the east and came back, and we could finally see the island there. And the aircraft was so light and the wind was so heavy that the captain couldn't get the aircraft onto the ground until halfway down the runway. And so then from then on, the aircraft kept going. It went across the ditch through a snow fence and kept rolling and finally stopped. And the captain swung the aircraft around, and I could look out the window. I could see the waves crashing on the rocks about 100 feet below. So we all got out and had a nervous pee, believe me.
Well. And what happened after that when you left the Azores?
Oh, well, we were there for pretty near a week, I guess.
Yeah.
They had to fly in another propeller and change it at the Azores. And so that was another story. We were stuck there, and there's a little town called Pria de Victoria, it was called. There's a little town right on the seashore, and it was down at sea level, where the airport was up about 150 feet above sea level. So we had the loan of a cab from the BOAC Airlines, and that was to go and visit this town and go and kill some time. So we went in town, and everybody kept looking at us because we were strangers to them because of our different uniforms from the rest of them. Mm-hmm. And people hanging out windows looking at us. So we went and we had a good meal, and we had the opportunity to buy some real good cheap booze, good rum and champagne and all that stuff for dirt cheap. So anyways, we had our bags full of these bottles, and we started to go back. But the driver that had taken us down hadn't shown up. So anyways, there was a guy and his little donkey cart there, and he was taking passengers up to the hill to the airport. So, we said, let's give this guy a try. So there was five of us, and we got all in this buggy, and we started to go up the hill. There was just one little wee donkey. And we started to go up the grade, and we could find that if we lean backwards, we could lift the donkey off his feet, and we'd start to roll backwards. So we'd all lean forward, and the donkey could come down and crash down and paw. We had the donkey keep going, doing that for a while. And I remember the driver kept yelling, "Mush away the machina," whatever that means, I don't know. But anyways, we got about halfway up the hill, and fortunately the driver of the bus came and picked us up, and we got off the car and got home. But that was fun. We thought it was a great joke, you know. And we went to a few other places is when we were stuck there. We went to another village, I forget its name, and they hadn't seen our uniforms before either. They were familiar with Americans and RCAF and RAF uniforms. So we arrived there at noon. There wasn't a soul in the place. So we walk in, and oh boy, we used to see how they flew around to get the junk and get us ready for getting a meal. So we finally got a meal there and went back to the base. But we had several excursions around the island, and nothing tour, just the sightseeing tours and all the rest of it. But that's what happened when we were stuck there at the Azores that time.
Oh, boy, what a story. While you're talking, I'm fishing on the net there to see about the Canadian government press Atlantic service. There are quite a lot of pages about that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, I'll let it go with that then for now. I'll dig out these pictures and send them to you.
Yeah, okay. And if I find that, maybe I can find a picture of those Lancaster on the net already.